Christian Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 19. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. You have to remember this is not the first time this has been depicted. Isaiah 63, verse 1 through 6, the Bible says, "Who is this that cometh up from Edom?" In Sunday school today, we studied Obadiah, which is all about Edom. But it's the Edom of the old days, okay? And what happened to them, and it promotes, and it projects into the future about the rest of the world being like that. The Bible says, "Who is this that cometh up from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save," comes back the answer. "I that speak in righteousness and mighty to save." And they say to him, "Why art thou red in thine appearing, and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat?" He says, "I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. And I will stain all my raiment, for the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come." You know who that is? That's us. "The year of my redeemed is come." Okay, we're going to get you out of here. We're going to fix this. It's not going to have to be like this anymore. "The day of my redeemed is come. And I looked." I looked, he says, and there was none to help. "And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me. And my fury, it upheld me. I had wrongs to right and vengeance to measure out. There were people who had been killed for my name's sake. I had the time of blood guiltiness to deal with." He says, "So I was able to go, and I tread down the people in my anger, and I made them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth." I'm telling you, the second coming is not just in chapter 19 of Revelation. It's in Zechariah 12, 13, and 14. It's here in chapter 63. The Bible says the day of the Lord is coming. So I say to you, enjoy the reality. This is your hope, beloved. If you're God's child, this down here, it's a brief speck. The Bible says, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away." So this is all just a little bit of details. But when you know Jesus, you're going to live forever in glory. You're going to see some amazing things come to pass. It's going to be a good day. When he's doing all this treading out, when he comes, we're with him. Look what the Bible says in verse 14. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean." We saw a little bit of that last week when we saw the hallelujahs, because they were clothed in the righteousness of the saints. They were granted unto them to get credit for doing some good after salvation. And they knit together the garments of the bride. The Bible says that they were clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now it says armies. Now when you trace the scriptures on this armies thing, you could say, well, there was the spirit of just men made perfect in the Old Testament. You could say there was the angels. You could say there was the church as a separate entity. Well, I believe what I'm seeing here, and this is just a little bit of parsing, comparing verse to verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 says this: "The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." See that? That's the first thing he said. That's a group of armies. That's an army. He's going to be revealed from heaven. 1 Thessalonians 1, 7. "The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction." Talk about hell. It's not going to end. It's going to be everlasting, rolling destruction. A person going to hell, going to be there forever. 10,000 years, we're going to be singing. Bright shining as the sun, we're going to be shining. They're going to be screaming. 1,000 years, 10,000 years, 1,000,000 years, no end. You say that is harsh. It is not harsh when you consider the value of one soul. And every soul that you and I have kind of tripped up, led the wrong way, taught the wrong thing, even before salvation. But after salvation, even worse probably, right? I mean, let's face it. Sometimes we've fumbled the ball. Sometimes we've buckled. Sometimes we were, as the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it says, when the righteous falls, he's as a troubled fountain. They see that. They don't know what to do with it. But then after they get harder, they start saying, yeah, I knew it all along. They weren't real. And they got a reason not to follow. And so that we would be culpable for. But as believers, Jesus paid our sin. Jesus took care of everything. Jesus knew we'd fall down. And he said, I've accounted for that. And he says, I've got you. I've got you. I've got you. But if you're lost, you're responsible for every soul, the blood of every soul that you put in harm's way. Your children, when you taught them to chase skirts and love wine and love beer and love alcohol and love all the stuff of the world, love the fascination, love the world and the world's way, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, all of it. You've taught, and when you've taught, you've stumbled them when you've done that perpetually. Because they're going to want to be like you, Dad. They're going to want to be like you. Remember Cats in the Cradle? He'd say, we got to be careful. We got to walk straight. No, the Bible says that he comes. And when he comes, he's going to come with his angels. And the Bible says, and those who were ungodly would be punished with everlasting destruction. From the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. They're going to exist, but they're not going to see the good. They're not going to see the sweet. Someone has well pointed out that what's going to happen in hell largely is every comfort you can imagine is going to be taken away. Think of the rich man who was in the flame and he says, just give me a drop of water. Drop of water. I'm tormented. And no, there will be no water. There will be no drop. There will be no comfort. Never an easing moment. Now listen, this is extreme, but it's extreme because people's souls are valuable to the extreme. And when we take children like we've done in our generation in the abortion industry and in the trafficking industry and all of the things that we've done in this world, there's a lot of explaining to do for many who are involved in that. Now, the Bible says, though, that we can be saved. So I want to throw that out there. I want you to know you can run to Jesus. You can get all that stuff taken care of. But in, as the passage unfolds, it says that they will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And he shall come, listen, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. In that day, he's coming with the angels, and I think he's coming with the church. And I think those are the two armies. There may be others. Spirit of just men made perfect are clearly going to be brought up. I don't know if they're coming in the sky like we are. I think we're going to be there, and I think the angels are going to be there. And I think that is a pretty cool place to be. At least we are, but at most it could just be us and them. And that's pretty honorable, because it says when he comes and he's got this big train of believers who bore the brunt of the day, they're in his entourage. They're his people. They're not going to fight. They're coming to watch him take care of it all. He treads it out alone, right? It's what we saw in Isaiah 63. Now Jude says something very interesting in this connection. Jude said, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. There it is. The saints are with it. There's going to be 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment, listen to this, upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Think about how he keeps pounding the word ungodly. Why? Because secularism is going to be the age in which he comes. They're going to be living as if there's no God. Oh, I got a verse. I've got a form of godliness, but I am secular to the core, man. Give me my pleasures of this world. Give me my prosperity. Give me my clicker. Give me all my comforts because, you know, I deserve these. I know it. God's got my back. He said, no weapon formed against me shall stand. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, just because you quote a verse doesn't make it yours. And that verse about no weapon that's created against you is to Israel. Now, there may be some connectives, but God's Word tells us in the New Testament, we're like sheep led to the slaughter all day long. Okay? So, if that's true, then we can't have it both ways. We have to realize that prosperity was the gift of the Old Testament. Those people were walking in pitch darkness. They were just told to behave and do it His way, and He didn't explain it. Prophets said, what's this about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow? And then they were told, the prophets were told, it's not for you to understand. You just do what I told you to do. You'll be understanding better when the rest of the group comes along. The sheep from other folds that you don't know yet, they're going to come and then you're going to understand. And here we see that in fact, we have a lot of people in the day that we're going to see Jesus come that are ungodly. They don't have any relationship with God. 2 Corinthians talks about the fact that Jesus gives us a warfare. When it talks about our armies, we're not coming to fight in the return. We're coming to watch Him fight. Because why? Because Paul said it this way. I've finished my course. I've fought the fight. Our fight is down here now. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You hear that? Are you warring? We don't war after the flesh. Our warfare is not fleshly. It's not carnal. It's spiritual. He says, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see who you've already been fighting. If you've been with Jesus for any decades or any years at all, you've been fighting already. You've been fighting the devil just to get up in the morning and face a new day sometimes. Some of us, we don't have as much, you know, firecracker in us as some others. But we're still just keeping our eyes on the cross. We're still keeping. And God says some of us got a talent. And we got that talent. We invested it. We got somebody else to come. But Jesus sees it all. He knows your measure. He knows my measure. Each of us required accordingly. You and I are God's people if we know Jesus. He's got us. We're coming back. Our warfare will have been completed. Romans 6 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. And the word instruments is there is the word haplon, and it means to weapons of warfare. Don't your hands, your smile, your feet, your ears, your eyes, they're God's weapons. You do what you can do to be a better soldier for Jesus. No man that warreth entangled himself in the affairs of this world, that he might please him who enlisted him, Paul told Timothy. And so we see again and again that this is true, that we are in a warfare. We're part of the armies. We're not coming to fight. We are coming to observe and be admired as those he leads in triumph, as being delivered ourselves. I told you this in Sunday school. The Bible says in Obadiah 1:21, and savers shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. That's how that book ends, because it's all about Edom, but it projects to the end days. The kingdom shall be the Lord's. Who are the saviors? The Bible says he's made us a kingdom and priests unto our God. We're going to come back and rule and reign with him. The Bible says in verse 27 in Nehemiah 9 that God in his mercy sent them a manifold mercies and gave them saviors who delivered, who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. Talking about the judges that came. You know, your job is to be a savior, not like Jesus, but for Jesus. You take Jesus and you cast him to other people, and thus you get rewards. Lord, I was given 5 talents. Here's 5 back. Well done. You see, you got 3 talents. Here's 3. I got 3 back. Well done. Listen, the reason the church sometimes doesn't bust at the seams, and I'm convinced of this, is because I tell one note. I'm telling you the one note. The note of the Christian life is Jesus. And it's about Jesus. And it's about telling other people about Jesus. And it's about bringing more people to Jesus. And on it goes. I've got one message. And the whole Bible is that one message. That's why I can go to Isaiah and I go to Zechariah and I go to all these places. Because we're supposed to be out there winning people to Jesus. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. We help people see Jesus and get to live forever. Bible says that these armies come that were in heaven. They followed him in verse 14, and they were clothed in fine linen. Verse 15 says, and out of his mouth went a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress. There we got the connective back to Isaiah 63. Tread out the winepress alone. This is what we saw back earlier in the book of Revelation, where it says in chapter 14, where the Bible says, I looked and behold a white cloud, and one sat on it like the Son of Man, and he was told to thrust in his sickle. And in verse 20 it says, and the winepress was trodden outside the city. That's talking about Armageddon. And so we see him bringing down the wrath of God. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.